May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text this morning comes from the gospel reading, which includes these words. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. When he was born, the angels proclaimed, "Peace on the earth, goodwill toward men." Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Paul writes in Romans 5, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And in 1 Corinthians, "For God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace." In the very last words that you hear in the divine service, you are blessed with the words the Lord gave to Aaron through Moses, "The Lord give you peace." So what is Jesus talking about when he tells his disciples, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword"? I would suggest to you this morning that there are two kinds of peace. Jeremiah alludes to both kinds of peace in our Old Testament reading. He says, "As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." Peace that is declared but doesn't come to pass or doesn't actually exist is in fact a false peace, the first kind of peace, pretend peace, if you will. This was the sort of peace that Jeremiah was contending with God's people. The people to whom Jeremiah proclaimed the word of God had abandoned the Lord. They had worshipped false gods. They had practiced all sorts of abominable sexual acts. They had worked injustice on the poor. They had desecrated the holy things of God. And to top it all off, there were all manner of earthly enemies knocking at the doorstep, having already taken over Judah and threatening to destroy Jerusalem. And yet, there were all kinds of would-be prophets that said, "All is well." They were proclaiming a false peace. They assured the people that no evil would befall them because God was there to protect them. They were at peace with God. However, such was not the case. In Jeremiah 16, the Lord speaks these devastating words. He says, "For I have taken away my peace from the people, my steadfast love and mercy, declares the Lord." But the false prophets persisted, saying that there was peace. In fact, in Jeremiah 14, Jeremiah records some of the sentiment of these false prophets. He says, "The prophets say to the people, 'You shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place.'" No sword, just peace. Almost the exact opposite of what Jesus said. In Jeremiah 6, the Lord assesses these so-called prophets. He says, "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." I suppose it is easy to see such false claims of spiritual peace in our time as well, from outside of ourselves. On the one hand, we have liberal Christianity, which says, "Oh, you can just do whatever you want, As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, God doesn't really care, you're at peace with God. On the other hand, many churches teach that it is by your own works and efforts that you become right with God. If you're good enough, God will love you. If you say the right prayer, conquer certain vices, perform certain acts of charity, you will find peace with God. These two are a false peace. But are we able to recognize such inclinations toward false peace in ourselves? You see, pretend peace is reconciliation with God that we make up out of our own minds. It is a peace based on our own will, our own efforts. It is a peace based on a lie. A false peace is one that excuses sin, just as the people in Jeremiah's time did. A false peace is one that, when it wants to do evil, simply claims that that evil is good. A false peace says, I'm okay, you're okay. A false peace believes that God can't actually see into our hearts, and if he does happen to look in there, he'll be fine with whatever he sees. No one's perfect, after all. False peace thinks that if I just try harder, if I just believe more, if I just act a little bit better, God will accept me and I will have peace with him. Jesus does not come to bring that peace. In its place, he brings a sword. Swords cut, they maim, they divide joints from marrow. Swords kill. The Prince of Peace comes wielding a sword, and it should come as no surprise to any of us that that sword is the very Word of God. In Ephesians 6, Paul writes, "Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The writer to the Hebrews says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." In the book of Revelation, John sees a reigning Jesus up in heaven, ruling over all the earth, and out of Jesus' mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. God's word brings division. By the word of God are created two kinds of people: those who receive and believe and are given eternal life, and those who reject and disbelieve and consign themselves to eternal death. But this sword, the sword of God's word that divides and kills, also brings peace. The second kind of peace, true peace. Because it is this word of God that testifies to Jesus, that testifies that Jesus, and he alone, brings peace between God and man, brings reconciliation between us and God. In the book of Leviticus, the rules for the giving of a peace offering are listed. An individual would bring the lamb to the tabernacle, lay its hand on the lamb, slaughter it, and the blood was sprinkled on the altar. The life of that animal was in the blood. And that blood was shed on behalf of the person bringing the peace offering, so that that person would have peace with God. But it was only a foreshadowing, only a foretaste of the peace offering, an atonement that would bring lasting peace. For St. Paul says in Colossians, "For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." The sword of God's word that came out of the mouth of Jesus caused the ruling authorities to hate him and to kill him. But by his death, he brought peace. You are at peace with God solely by the blood of Jesus. Peace between nations is often achieved through conflict or war. Either the two parties will reach a stalemate and decide, well, it's better to just have peace and keep going on like this, or one country will defeat the other, bringing peace. But Christ's defeat of Satan was absolute. It was a completely lopsided victory. Peace between you and God was won on the cross, and it was delivered to you in your baptism. It is a peace that is maintained solely by God. He continues to kill the old Adam in you by the sword of his word, and he binds you up with the saving gospel and dispenses to you the medicine of immortality in the very body and blood of Jesus, the same blood that won you peace. This peace is not one you can earn. It was earned for you. This peace is not one that excuses sin. It is a peace that forgives sin. This peace is not one that comes from the corrupt mind of man, but comes from the very heart of God. It is a peace that everyone needs, but sadly not everyone wants. It is a peace that you have been given. It is a peace that calls us to love God more than our family. It is a peace that calls us to take up our own crosses and follow Jesus. It is a peace that calls us to lose our very lives in order to find life in Jesus. Jesus is the prophet of whom Jeremiah spoke, the one who proclaims peace and causes it to come to pass. It is a peace that passes all understanding. In baptism, you have been handed over a peace treaty signed by God using the very blood of Jesus. A peace treaty that you didn't even ask for, that you didn't even sign. It's peace that brings enmity with the world. It's peace that makes the world hate you, but only for a little while. For you and I look forward to an eternity of peace. Peace with fellow believers, peace with God. Praise God that Jesus brings true peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.